Welcome back to the Go-To Food Podcast, brought to you by Deli. Deli's a food platform from the team behind Depop that sells the best independent food and drink products that other shops don't really know about. Head to www.deli.market and discover the thousands of creative products dropping daily and use the code GO2DELI, that's with two L's, for 25% off everything from us. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to be joined by the genius mind behind London's latest hit restaurant, Counter 71, Joe Laker. Having cut his teeth at the likes of the Black Swan, Roots, Pollen Street Social, Anglo and Fenn, he's now making a real stir in London with his incredible creations. Talking creations, Joe, how did you create one of the capital's best places to eat by converting a tired, beaten up boozer? I mean, it didn't look like that attractive a proposition when you probably walked past it initially, into a sort of epic cocktail bar come restaurant. I mean, it's, you know, kicking off. Everyone's fucking loving it. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And you got married yesterday. Congratulations.
You got married yesterday.
Yeah. So this is my honeymoon.
Yeah.
That's quite a lot of pressure on us.
Yeah.
Consummate the marriage for you. Yeah. Right.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
But talk us through the concept of the whole place.
It's basically like a split level building, old pub. And one of my business partners, Ryan, he's a cocktail man we met when we were at Fenn. And that's sort of when this idea started. So he runs the cocktail bar downstairs, which actually used to be the cellar of the old pub.
Right.
And before we got hold of it, our landlord, I don't know how they did it. It was like a meter of concrete that they just like drilled down into and made it like a usable height roof sort of thing. We run the cocktail bar out of there, and then my idea or dreams for a long time was to do the chef's table. It was more the layout of the site that was like perfect. It's like the cocktail bar in the basement has its own separate entrance. The restaurant upstairs, which has like an entrance from the front, you know, it still has the old pub windows, so we still kind of have that like really nice old Art Deco type feel, you know. And then I never expected it to kick off like it has.
Well, you must have done. You worked at such incredible places.
Yeah, it's a silly CV that.
Yeah, I mean,
it is actually quite rude on other chefs. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like you work in these places and you learn so much and you get exposed to so much, but they never teach you the confidence to think that you can do it yourself.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So not that they knock your confidence down in any way, but, you know, your job is to come in every day and do the same prep list and do the same thing
like
every day.
Execute their food.
Exactly. So it's not like there's like a training course of like building up the confidence for yourself to think that you can actually do it, you know. So, you know, what we've achieved in less than a year at the moment, you know, obviously it was the plan, but, you know, it wasn't like the expectations, I don't think.
What are some of your favourite dishes on the menu right now for those who may not know about it?
We've had a cuttlefish dish on the menu for a very long time. It's like a technique that I learned at a 2-star seafood restaurant in Copenhagen that I was staging at for a little bit. And
another
they like
silly part of the CV. Unbelievable.
But they like roll the cuttlefish up and then freeze it and slice it really thin on a mandolin.
Then
you cook it, it's like noodles. So it kind of has the texture of noodles, but it's just cuttlefish.
Wow.
So we've got that, and it's served like a mushroom broth and some spring onions, and then like a spice mix, which is similar to like a Japanese togarashi.
Mm.
So it's got like loads of seaweed in it. We spend a lot of time, especially this time of year when all the produce starts getting super exciting, we use this time to preserve as much as we can.
Yeah, nice.
So in there, it's got like chili powder from last summer, like gin. We have a very short, you know, the thing about the UK is that people have zero idea that we can grow almost everything. Apart from things like rice, which you need like a very heavy monsoon season for, citrus, which you need like constant sunlight for. You know, we get a very short ginger season in this country. There's a farm in Hampshire that grow wasabi. You know, all these, and I feel like the restaurant was always started to kind of be a platform for that.
For British producers, for British suppliers.
Everything at the moment, you know, we use truffles and caviar for a little bit that weren't from the UK. That's gone now. You know, we're curing our own like John Dory Roe to use instead of caviar and things like that. If this restaurant can educate, not in a patronizing way, but like an informative way about British produce, that's good enough for me, you know, and everything else that's come around it.
No, I heard a guy on the radio in Somerset who does like chilies and all this Thai produce, which he grows down there. So you can basically get your hands on anything now.
You can get anything. There's a farm in Lewes near Brighton called Nami Asai.
Yeah, amazing.
And they grow like yuzu in September.
Because you're also cooking for the bar downstairs, but obviously different food. And that sort of Southern American kind of food?
So Ryan's from Savannah in Georgia. We have a little prep kitchen downstairs, so we kind of prep all the food and then it gets served from downstairs. We did like tater tots and fried chicken and all those, you know, sorts of southern inspired dishes. Now we've sort of gone more down the fried chicken route, so we're doing like fried chicken burgers with like buffalo sauce, and
nice.
Down there it's very different.
Yeah,
you know, we're serving like a 12-15 course taste menu upstairs. It's very refined. We've got tweezers out and there's little flowers on everything, you know. It's like, it's very very refined, and it's like the food that I enjoy cooking, like the intricacies of it. And then downstairs we're using the same produce, you know, so the chickens, they come from the same suppliers that our like aged beef comes from, so it's super high quality stuff just in like a more casual form.
Very cool.
Is it stressful cooking in an open kitchen, having all those eyes at you?
You know, if you're on like a really long drive and you drive for like 4 hours and you get to your destination and you're like, oh, I don't remember that drive at all.
Yeah,
you just like zone out, and it's something that you're so used to doing. I feel like because it's what we do every day,
yeah,
I feel like, you know, we're not there like thinking about people staring at us. And we've actually been very lucky. We've had some like, you know, we've had some awful people, but like 99% of the people who have like come through the door, they're like super excited about it, like super personable, just want to chat and all those sorts of things.
Was it,
sorry,
just about, because you said at the beginning you wanted that chef's table format.
Yeah.
What was it about it that like you wanted?
You have so much control over everything because you can see everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, the tasting menu format is great. We do one sitting. Everyone sits at the same time. We know exactly who's coming in and what they're eating. I'm not saying anything ever goes wrong. You know, we're, like, so precise. But if things go wrong, you can see it straight away and you can, like, act on it. And it's, you just have so much more control because you can see everything, like front of house, back of house, everything. So,
but it's a strict 7:15 seating time.
Yes.
Surely some people take the piss, especially in London.
They do. And then at the start, we were trying to make friends. Yeah. So we'd, like, give people a grace period.
Right.
We don't make friends anymore.
No,
you know, it's like if it's 7:15 and you're not there, we start.
You're cracking on.
And the latest we've had is like an hour and a half.
Fucking hell.
So we had...
It's just in time for pudding.
Yeah, yeah. It literally was. So we started at 7:15 as normal. And these two... There was a run. It was after Christmas when like all the rich, wealthy people go to like Barbados and stuff Christmas. And we had a run of like 2 weeks of people's flights getting delayed, coming back from Christmas... And they were booking restaurant reservations
for that day
on the day they get back.
Insane.
So their flight was meant to land at like 4 o'clock. And what they were like, oh, I've got 3 hours, I can get there. It's, you know, it's bizarre. It's a bizarre concept to start with.
Yeah, that is odd.
And then something that's very common in the, you know, aviation industry is flight delays.
Flight delay, yeah.
So their flight was delayed. They ended up getting a taxi from Heathrow Airport all the way to the restaurant. They turned up with their huge suitcases.
Oh,
we were serving dessert to the rest of the counter.
Did they think they were going to get the full?
Well, they did get everything.
Oh, they did.
We lined it up in front of their seats.
Go
and then go. So while we were serving desserts to the rest of the room, they were starting on snacks.
Who's the worst customer you've ever had? Even, you know, maybe in your restaurant, Anglo or somewhere else. There must be one person who's kind of jumps out.
Yeah, there's one woman.
Go on.
Well, there's a lot, but there's one that like jumps out.
Okay, she's not a serial offender.
No.
She's coming back.
She's not coming back.
No, yeah, right. She's, yeah.
So if people arrive early, we sit them in the bar. And it's like a nice thing. They enjoy a cocktail, you know, and then one of the chefs will come and pick them up and take you upstairs. You get a sense of how difficult people are going to be straight away.
Yeah.
Really?
So as soon as one of the chefs has brought everyone upstairs, you have a debrief with that chef and he's like, they're going to be trouble. They're really nice. You know, and you get like the lowdown. Yeah. It's like an educational process because you like learn about people. It's like, oh, they're visiting from, I don't know, Milan. And, you know, one of our chefs speaks Italian, so I'm like, go speak Italian to him, make him feel, you know, like, so it is educational. These two people came up, they're like, they're going to be trouble, like serious trouble.
So where were they from? How did you characterise them in the moment?
Just super rude. They were just super rude. That wasn't educational.
They
that was just like, these
rude.
People are going to suck.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah. So I can swear.
It's family friendly.
So they arrived, they were super difficult, being difficult with wine, being difficult with everything. They ate the snacks and then... We served them the scallop course and we like caramelize it really beautifully and then just like flip it over. So it's still translucent in the middle. It's beautiful. They're so high quality.
Yeah.
You could eat it raw. It's absolutely fine. Gave it to her and then she like ushers me over and just like pushes the bowl back. And I was like, is everything all right? She was like, my scallop's raw. And I like, I don't want to be patronizing, but I was like, oh, we cook them through, you know, just until they're like, you know, slightly cooked and we caramelize it on top. She was like, yeah. I was like, would you like me to cook you another one? She was like, yes, please. And then all our fish, we cook the same.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's translucent in the middle, it's cooked through. It's
the way you should cook.
Exactly. Super lovely. So I went over just to try and like, you know, negate any future issues. I was like, just so you know, all of our fish is fairly translucent. Would you like me to cook it all the way through? And she was like, no, I like raw food. I just like my scallops cooked properly.
Oh my God.
Then I just like put a scallop in the oven for about 10 minutes and gave it to her.
Roast the fuck out of it.
She, you know.
Was she then happy?
No.
She's like, Rochester. But then, it's still under.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? For the rest of this meal, I'm going to be so polite and over the top.
Kill her with kindness.
Yeah. And then at the end, when she was leaving, I was like, thank you so much for coming. It was an absolute pleasure to meet you. And then she left like a 3-star review and it painted her in such a good light. Where she was like, I came wanting to love it. I just couldn't. Like, never in the whole 15 courses or whatever did anything go above average. So she springs to mind.
Do you not bite back, but do you respond to that sort of thing?
To that sort of stuff, I just like keep it. You know, I put my email. I replied to the review on Google, put my email address, and said, if you want to discuss, you know, anything further, like, we'll be happy to.
We need to bring out your little deli bag, which we've created for you.
That's excellent.
And we're basically going to, Ben's going to take you through what's in there. And then at the end, we're going to ask you what you cook with it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's good. That's a bit of a game.
Yeah.
I've sort of leading the witness a bit.
Well, that's okay.
This is unbelievable. This is a pork and duck liver sausage from Poon's Wantonaria. That's genuinely awesome. Delicious.
What is this, like an online supermarket?
Yeah, online deli place.
Online deli.
Yeah, online selling the best food and drinks on the market.
This is K's kimchi. I gave you one the other day, make it off the train.
So good.
I've never even heard of it.
Mate, if you want, you can get 25% off with the code GOTODELI, all right? Double L.
Also from Poon, this is a chili vinegar dressing. It's very delicious. It's sort of, you know.
A lot of their products are just to like elevate dishes, which is quite nice. They're like
seasoning.
Know. Yeah.
And this is a bibimbap.
I love bibimbap.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
So that's what you... Yeah, you don't have to do anything with this now.
No, just have a think about it.
I feel like I'll just make...
You're going to make bibimbap.
Yeah. Well, just have a think
with
about it.
With a bit of chili vinegar dressing.
Chicken and duck liver sausage.
Joe, your food celebrates the best of the British Isles, as we were talking about there. And obviously you've got that incredible bar downstairs, but you also grew up in the US, right?
For a portion.
Big, like, any American food memories?
Yeah, which portion?
Young portion, three till eight.
Okay. Old enough to like
sort of old enough to remember it. I feel like it was a very good PR stunt to say that I grew up in the US, right, as if it would kind of make it seem like I was more informed.
Sort of legitimized you a bit or something.
Yeah, exactly. Right. No like specific food memories, but I feel like because I did spend a portion of my upbringing there, I was interested in kind of exploring the food of the South, you know?
Yeah, nice.
We're going to go into go-to menu, which is where it's sort of a quick fire. We ask you a couple of menu questions.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. Dish you'll always order if on a menu?
Anything fish. I'm a big fan of fish. I think we cook with a lot of fish at the restaurant.
Where's the best fish you've had in London, apart from your own place?
I mean, I went to Endo at the Rotunda.
It's a ball of move from you.
It's exceptional.
Yeah.
I like shamelessly begged him for a restaurant reservation.
Really?
He came to Counter 71 for the industry night. He was invited by our PR company.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, he said, you're welcome at my restaurant anytime. I said, I can't get a restaurant reservation. And he went, that's your problem, not mine.
Really?
And so, yeah. And so...
really like that.
I must have joined like 15 days worth of the waiting list in like February and March.
Yeah.
And then I like shamelessly replied to like one of his Instagram stories, like, oh, chef, like I'm on the wait list, like hopefully like get to experience it, you know. And then like 2 hours later, I just got an email confirmation.
Mate, rightly so.
And it was as good.
It was exceptional. It was like on every level, it was just like mind blowing. Service, food, the whole experience.
Anything stand out food wise?
He does a thing called his business card, and it's like a tuna hand roll thing.
Ugh.
But it's mad. He's like the most personal person in the industry as well.
Yeah.
He's like the hottest ticket right now.
That's insane. Everybody
wants a slice, but yeah.
Dish or ingredient that's on too many menus at the minute?
I hate terrine.
As a category.
Fiery passion. Not like a fire. I don't actually mind eating it.
Yeah.
I feel like there's too many places, like fine dining places. I've got a specific restaurant in mind.
Come on, go on.
Lyle's.
Yeah.
Love terrine.
Yeah.
Love terrine. And it's like...
Stop it.
It's not like a 1-star food. I get it.
Yeah, cheap. Right.
It's like cheap cuts of...
Yeah.
You know, it's like a old English peasant food, which is fine. Yeah. You know, I don't mind eating it, but I want to go to like a pub.
Yeah.
Eat it at a pub.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to like a 1-star restaurant and eat like minced up
meat. I agree with you.
Like bits of lard.
What's been the worst cooking fad?
I wouldn't say it's a cooking fad. I was thinking about this on the way here, and there's something that I hate. It's started recently, and... it's the videos of when chefs like make a dish and they like film it for a reel, and then the shot of them eating it.
Oh yeah.
And like the most ridiculous faces they make as if they're like orgasming.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry, but you're avocado on toast can't taste that nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then they like high five themselves.
And they're like pouting. It's
just relax, basically. They just need chill to just, out. Yeah.
We don't need to see your face.
No good.
On the video.
Yeah, boiled egg.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, a hack is a dirty word, right? But
yeah.
Is there any, from your experience, any cooking hacks or like little tips and tricks for like someone who's just starting out as a cook or cooking at home to make them better?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a very daunting thing, but if you like brine, like we brine like everything.
Yeah, really?
Like all the fish gets brined or salt cured or things like that. And I feel like it seems like this big mysterious thing that restaurants do, and it's actually very easy. So at like home, if you're like cooking fish or something, just like sprinkle some like rock salt on it for like 10 minutes and then wash it off. It's so much better.
And what's that going to do for those listening?
Well, it just like draws the moisture out and like really intensifies the flavour. Yeah, and it's like, I say this all the time to people in the like working in the restaurant, and I get like, I've had multiple people take the piss out of me for it. And I'm like, you need to salt your food when it's cooking, not just afterwards.
Yeah.
'Cause otherwise you get like that overly salty flavour.
Yeah.
Whereas if you salt it when it's cooking, it like draws all the flavour. Like, you know, it...
You also,
it's like so hard to explain. That
you also
like,
season less.
Yeah, exactly.
Weirdly.
Because it like cooks down and then everything. So that might be a,
that's a great one.
Another hack as well.
It's just on the fish.
Yeah.
If you're buying like not, so say you're just a person and you go to a supermarket and you buy fish.
Yeah.
Does it work for that grade of fish?
I think so.
So just take it out of the packaging, season it a little bit.
I think so.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you shop in normal supermarkets or do you just take stuff back from the restaurant and you're like... Like when you used to strap meat to you and bike home from, what restaurant was that?
The Dock Kitchen in Ladbroke Grove, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty mad.
Cling film bits of meat and stuff to ourselves.
What, like underneath your top?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
When the people went off on their bikes and scooters at the end of the night. Like stuff that was sort of maybe at the end of like a stock take and it was, you know, it was kind of, could have been used for you the next day, but.
On the edge.
We'd borrow it.
Yeah. Let's have a drink. We're going to go to drink.
Let's have a drink.
Ben, what have you got in store for the wonderful Joe Laker? And
I gone.
Oh, you've already got it.
I don't actually drink.
Well, that is absolutely brilliant.
Is that good?
Yeah, because this is not boot. I mean, you drink liquid.
Good. I drink liquid.
Yeah, yeah.
I love liquid. Yeah, there's like a running joke in the restaurant that I need like various amounts of liquid to
just
like,
to exist.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, what is it?
This is a nostalgia fest.
Go on.
So it's a Shirley Temple.
Oh shit. Oh.
Which, like, when I used to go on holiday when I was a kid, I used to mainline this.
Yeah.
And then I spotted it on deli, and I was like, I've got to have some of that.
Dangerous stuff. It's like sort of
kids' cocaine almost, isn't it?
What's your go-to cocktail, Joe?
Even
though you don't drink. Yeah. But you've got some incredible cocktails at the restaurant.
They make exceptional non-alcoholic cocktails.
Do they?
They do this seasonal jam sour, but non-alcoholic. Have you ever had three spirits?
Yeah,
like that non-alcoholic.
They
use like active ingredients,
mushrooms
and all that sort of stuff. That's really great. And then Ben, who owns Seedlip, he's just done this like new brand called Season,
right?
And it's like non-alcoholic bitters.
Oh, nice!
And they're really good in drinks as well.
Who's your favourite chef in London right now?
I'm gonna say Endo. I'm obsessed with him.
Yeah,
my girlfriend thinks it's really embarrassing, but I think he's great.
Sorry,
wow, this is very
messing around.
No, it's okay.
Freddie and I come around for dinner.
Yeah.
Down
my
the
house.
Business.
We're coming to your house.
Okay, nice. What are you, on my
what are you, what are you giving a little drink and snack just as we arrive? What are we having?
Salted cashews, I think I'm obsessed with.
Mm.
Oh, Jesus. That's very impressive.
That's a show.
And sparkling tea. Have you ever had Saicho?
No.
Whoa, shit's no.
Good. So Saicho and nuts?
Saicho and nuts, yes.
Nice. That sounds amazing.
I'm not a big olive man, so you're probably getting nuts.
Sorry, quickly on Saicho. What is it?
It's a sparkling tea. They do like a hijicha one, like that roasted tea.
Yeah, nice.
And they have like a jasmine and Darjeeling.
Mate, congratulations, Mazel Tov, on getting married.
Thank you very much.
On the restaurant success and everything, and for coming in on your first day of your honeymoon.
It's a pleasure.
First day of married life.
It was better than yesterday. I had a crazy day yesterday.
Were you working?
On your wedding day?
No, I got married on Tuesday.
Oh, sorry.
So on my wedding night at 11:55, I got a text from my business partner, Ryan, saying, "You don't need to read this." That was the first line. Right, I was like, well,
of course I'm going to read it.
Something's happened here.
Yeah.
He said, the sump tank where all our waste goes into and from the flats above our restaurant has started leaking out of the manhole cover. And then I got in on Wednesday morning after the, you know, the festivities of a wedding, and the bar was just like flooded with like water that had come up from the sump tank. And I spent 5 hours yesterday with a wet vac, just like hoovering up water
all out
and like pouring it down the drain outside.
Well, hopefully this is a better day.
This That's is much horrific. Better day. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's only got worse. No, I'm joking. Yeah. This is
what about the first thing you drink in the morning?
I'm straight to coffee.
Yeah.
Fair this point. Whole nonsense of like you have to drink water before coffee. That's bizarre behavior.
Coffee's got water in it. That's in many ways. I suppose the next question is slightly redundant. But if you are hungover.
I'm sure he would have been hungover.
Yeah.
Okay, so how are you remedying that with the food and drink? What's your go-tos?
So, I don't drink anymore because that was a very common occurrence most days.
Yeah, right.
You just start drinking again.
Right, that is the key.
If you can. You know, you start off something light, you know, like a gin and tonic. And then you build up, and then you end up, you know, slamming K-Siders on South Bank.
On a park bench.
2 o'clock in the afternoon,
That's the only way to deal with it.
Yeah. So, that's a foolproof remedy now.
Yeah, there we go.
None of this new, nutrition injection and all that bullshit. Yeah.
Hair of the dog.
Yeah. A bit like Gabriel Waterhouse, you sort of started working in a Chinese restaurant in your second year at uni.
Yeah.
How you sort of fell into the industry. And then post-uni, is it right that you sort of started making pizzas at children's birthdays parties?
Yeah, so I worked... This is actually a man.
What a chaotic first couple of years.
It's chaotic.
Yeah.
I worked in a Chinese restaurant rolling like wontons and washing dishes. And then I got a job.
Where are we in the world? Like in the world. Okay, in Leeds.
So this is up in Leeds. And then through somebody who I met through the industry, he was like doing these odd jobs for this guy who owned like a pizza van. And he also had like a marquee inside like a kid's soft play area, like a farm. It was called like Piglet's Adventure bullshit or something.
Yeah.
Fucking shit. And it's like every Friday and Saturday, I'd be in that like gazebo just like making pizza for kids. You know, it's kind of mad.
How good, like, were you trying to make good pizza for
kids? They were good pizzas.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It wasn't.
But you know, the funny thing was, so that's actually very delicious.
It's all right, isn't it? Yeah.
It's very nice. Yeah. Bit sweet, maybe.
A little bit sweet, but you know, it's sort of what you're here for if you're the Shirley Temple.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah. So the pizzas would be good, but the most, and I haven't really thought about it until right now, the most bizarre thing is you'd be making pizzas for like 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit what it's like.
No.
But then like the guy who ran the thing would like see pictures of it that people are posting and be like, well, that doesn't look very good. I'm like, mate, honestly, they don't give a shit.
No.
They have like one bite and that's it. They're done. So it's like, he was super... obsessive about how good they were.
Wrong audience, as in like he's wasting his time.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So I did that for a while, and then he would do like festivals and like food markets, and I'd do that. But yeah, that was pretty mad. I haven't thought about that.
Was he as brutal as Tommy Banks was in Roots or Black Swan when you went to work there, the Mission Star?
No, I wouldn't say Tommy Banks was that brutal. Tommy Banks is just like a pretty chilled out farmer.
Yeah,
really.
I'd say that
odd guy.
But
did he not come? Did he not come for you when you put one of his
that was hilarious.
Items on your menu at Anglo?
That was brilliant.
What do you mean?
So I basically moved down to London after working at Black Swan and Roots, and then went to St Leonard's for a little bit with Andrew Clark and Jackson Boxer, and then Pollen Street, and then went to Anglo. Started as a sous chef. I was so young that I wanted to rush through my career, and like in hindsight, you know, it was like you shouldn't do that.
Time.
You know, take your time. So I got the sous chef job at Anglo, and then I think Mark, who owns Anglo, was just done with it and didn't want to like. You know, didn't want to be there as much, so promoted me to head chef, and I was just like, well, I have no tools to create. As I said, you know, these restaurants that you work in, no matter how good they are, they don't teach you how to like build the confidence and like build the tools you need to like create your own menus. So I was just like, I was ripping dishes like straight up.
Yeah,
like no, you know, maybe I'd change it slightly. So if he did something with venison, I'd do it with beef. You know, just be like, look, I've changed it. And then there was this dish, you know, it was like textbook Tommy Bank. It was like this like sliced beef dish with a fermented chili and like cured bone marrow. And I've done like riffs on it since, but like put my own like spin on it. But that was just like textbook.
Straight up.
The plating was the same. It looked the same.
Yeah.
And then he commented on it saying, that's nice.
Oof.
And then his like wife liked it, which I just thought was pathetic. And then being like a 22-year-old, like 21 or whatever I was, just like complete like fuck it. And I was just like, learn from the best, and then just put like a thumbs up.
So you head chef at 21, 22,
22, yeah, but I shouldn't have been. You know,
what just, about Anglo now? Have you been back there?
I haven't been back there, but it looks
have
insane.
Fallen out with them?
No, I mean,
do you know Anthony?
I love Anthony.
Yeah, like, was he there great. When you were there?
So he was working, you know, trade, hospitality that they opened in Soho. It was like a private members club.
Yeah.
Mark had a residency there. And so when I was at Anglo, Anthony was at the Anglo residency in trade, and then he came over after I left. So he's great. I would love to.
I've been getting turned on by the food he's been sharing.
It's insane.
Yeah, you've been going hard for it.
I have been going hard for it. It looks good.
No, it's great.
Yeah. He does some very impressive stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very impressive to be that creative and use ingredients like that, but still, you know, I haven't been, but from what I've seen, the reviews, you know, it also is delicious.
Yeah.
And so to, like, develop and create like that, but keep flavour.
Can we go to Roots and Black Swan?
Yes.
I mean, what did you learn from Tommy Banks? Because he was obviously a guy, I've read his story, he just sort of taught himself when he was ill in bed reading cookbooks, right? Essentially.
Is that how he taught himself?
Apparently.
I've got no idea. So that's where, like, the love to explore British cooking came from. Because, like, the years prior, everywhere I'd worked, like, the food would arrive in crates and it'd be in, like, boxes and wrappers and it'd be in the back door. And,
yeah.
You know, you don't even think about where it comes from. And then you go to the Black Swan where there's like kitchen gardens and farms and almost like everything is grown there. And, you know, now they've even taken it further where they've got like livestock and they make their own charcuterie from their own pigs. It's an insane operation. And that definitely ignited like an interest in me to try and learn more about food. And, you know, we're so privileged in London. We can get anything whenever you want.
Yeah.
So almost putting those constraints on myself to not just get everything. You know, it's like you see restaurants, nothing against restaurants that, you know, buy in from wherever.
Yeah.
But it's like when you give yourself no boundaries for like what you're creating.
You should
be creating
amazing.
The best more thing possible, you know? Yeah. So that might not be the case, but for me, having those like boundaries and trying to find unusual British produce that might mimic other.
I always find it funny, it's a company like Natura.
Yeah.
And you know everyone gets like a sort of weekly thing with all the like... Coming soon, in season, at peak, going out. And you just look at menu and you could just see...
Yeah.
There's no effort made. You just sort of like, you just, you know, pick from that list and kind of like, oh, look, something exciting's coming.
Yeah,
we'll just put that on every menu in London.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that you can't do that.
Yeah.
And that's a constraint, but...
Yeah, exactly. And then...
Makes you more creative.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like you find out pretty insane things like by accident. Like there's a company called Hodmadods that sell like British pulses and grains. And they're growing chia seeds in Essex. And I always thought chia seeds had zero flavour because my girlfriend just like smashes them. My girlfriend is just mega healthy. She's from California.
Yeah.
You know, she goes running for fun.
Your wife.
My wife, sorry.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
My civil partner.
You got married yesterday.
I just assumed you were talking about two different people.
No.
That open.
You know, she goes running for fun, not just because she's like running away from the place. You know, she's one of those people.
Yeah.
And she'll always put like chia seeds and poppy seeds and whatever on her breakfast and I'll taste it, but that tastes like nothing.
Yeah.
But then we got some in and I roasted them and then like blended it into like a powder and it tastes like black sesame.
Really?
You know, and so it's like you start learning all these things by accident just from like wanting to experiment a little bit.
You then went to work for Jackson Boxer at St. Leonard's, a restaurant Jay Arena described as a fun fair and trying to be so cutting edge that you could cut your hands off. What was that experience like? And I can imagine, were you still drinking?
Yeah.
Good parties with Jackson?
There I think he was sober.
Oh, that's a shame.
Was he?
Or
yeah. He's sober curious.
It was good. It was good. It was like the first restaurant I worked at in London. It was owned by Vice.
It was owned by Vice?
Yeah.
Well, the media group?
Yeah.
Oh, that's insane.
It was like terribly run.
Yeah.
They own like the old Blue Last as
well. Yeah, they do,
in Shoreditch and Seabright Arms as well.
Really?
So I think they had this. I mean, it's shut now. I think it's long.
Yeah.
But
quite a nauseating combination. Yeah. Vice, Jackson Boxer, and Andrew Clark. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
Yeah. As in, it's all a bit sort of high key, like very cool.
Yeah. It's very.
Was the
style over substance?
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah.
And was that the experience cooking there?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I wasn't there for very long.
No.
Was it hectic?
Yeah, it was a bit hectic. It was like pretty poorly run.
Yeah.
Nobody that owned it or ran it was really there.
Sort of
that
there,
often.
Yeah.
So it was just like.
What about Pollen Street Social, Jason?
That happened. Was fucked.
Really?
What? Yeah.
Go on.
He was just awful.
Really?
Just not nice to you.
Not nice.
Or other people.
Not nice to anyone.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's closing now.
Was he working there or not?
He was there every fucking day.
Man. Really?
Just being not nice.
Just being
so go
not
and
nice.
Talk us through it. I mean, you're in the.
It was just like super like verbally abusive.
Really?
Like, just everybody that worked there, it's like to survive there, you have to become.
That.
That.
Yeah, right.
It's just like, you just lose everything about yourself.
Good food or not?
I mean, yeah, I ate there once before I started working there. I thought it was really nice, but it's like, at what cost, you know?
What was the best dish you made there?
I've got no idea. I don't remember it at all. Fucking hated it.
Yeah, I just remember this stupid...
Like, I don't know why people do it. It's like, it's 56 degree egg.
Yeah.
It's just like, the egg doesn't cook.
No.
So it's like, the yolk is like runny, and then all the white around it just like falls
splodges
off.
Splodges everywhere, yeah.
And then I remember you like cooked it in a water bath, and if like a small amount of it broke off, they'd like make you replate it. But then they cover it in shit. So like the whole thing was then covered in like chicken fat crumb or something bullshit like that.
COVID hit, and then post that you become head chef at Fenn. I need to congratulate you because you're probably the only person in the world who could get people to go down Wandsworth Bridge Road.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite amazing to be able to get people to go commute there. I mean, there's nothing there. And then you created this amazing restaurant.
Yeah.
What was that experience like? And was there a bit of a fallout at the end? Because creatively you were stifled, a bit like Alex Jackson.
So I'll take you through the whole story.
Yeah, nice.
The whole truth, nothing but the truth. To start off with, I'll say that the three boys that own Fenn, Ness and St. Bart's, I have a huge amount of like appreciation for them, what they did, because all the press releases, they put my name, and you know, it definitely helped my career. So I definitely feel very thankful for that. It was great at the start, and for the first like year and a half, it was perfect for me. I was developing dishes, but under like the supervision of Johnny. So I'd develop dishes and then he'd help sort of refine them and things like that. And then I'm not better than Johnny in any way. I'm not saying, you know. But it got to a point where I was kind of developing things and like showing him, and then I was building enough confidence in myself where if he'd be like, you need to change that's not right, I'd be like,
don't know if I do.
I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
You know, and so that I never said anything, you know, because again, it was, you know, you're taught just shut your mouth and say yes. And
but you know, internally, you're starting to feel
I was starting to feel a bit like maybe outgrowing it slightly, and then that's when, you know, the opportunity to open this place with Ryan came up, and as soon as that started becoming like a possibility, that was it then. You know, I was coming in every day and being like, you know, the paint's peeling. You know, everything just started getting a bit darker and a bit cloudier, and I was like, this is, you know, not for me.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Where does that like, so you've worked in cool places, but it sounds like actually you weren't learning, you were cooking food there.
Yeah.
And probably learning something, but like, where does this like, the like developing bit come from, like the dishes that you're cooking now, like what's driving that?
I mean, it's really hard to say. I think it's definitely like produce. I usually start with something,
right,
and then you know it'll start, I want to use duck, I want to use like this fucking parsnip or something. I don't know what it might be. And then you sort of start to build something around it. I've started doing this thing in the last few months where I just like write a big list. So like write duck, and then I'll write like 30 like ingredients that I know work with duck.
Yeah, just like tasty things.
Start crossing off.
Right.
And then you start to like build a bit of a picture, and then it's just a lot of like testing.
Mm.
I think what people don't realise is like 9 out of 10 things I try,
it tastes just not really right.
What's the restaurant you've learned most in? Copenhagen, was that a step up?
So yeah, I mean, I was staging there for like a couple of months because I was a bit older and at like a point in my career where I was taking things like a lot, like very very seriously. I learned a lot there in like two months. I learned a lot about food and produce at Roots and the Black Swan, and then Fenn, you know, I learned a lot just because it was the first time where I was like properly developing.
What about working with Phil Howard?
That was legendary.
Yeah.
You know, he...
Imagine a night out with you, like... Jackson and Phil Howard if you're all still on sauce.
That'd be disgraceful.
Yeah.
Phil Howard at the Square, lovely. So that was just in between jobs. That was, you know, that was a really nice opportunity to have. I was there for, I think, 3 months just while the restaurant was being built, just before it was being built. He's a legend.
Mm. Yeah.
On like every level. You know, it's like an undeniable legend. Just like, you know, he's got time for everyone, wants to teach everyone still. He's like 60 years old.
Yeah.
And when I was there, he was almost there every single day.
Wow.
You know, he runs marathons and does all that cycling thing. It's pretty insane.
Do you love the pain of being a chef? Do you love getting beaten up, screamed at, bullied? like, but you know what I mean? Like, there's a like certain...
This is getting...
Yeah, it's like therapy.
Yeah.
No, because I'm about to ask you about your sort of, you know, biggest nightmare day in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But like, I'm guessing there were some good times because you're relatively new to the industry in terms of like Ben Tisch or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But is there still drugs, debauchery, partying, all-nighters? Like,
you know, that's definitely like still around. I don't drink, and then Ryan, my business partner, he doesn't drink. So I feel like Can 71 and Low Country is like a very teetotal restaurant, you know, like on a Saturday night.
I mean, in the wider sphere.
I think so. I'm sort of like rooted in the industry of London, you know, and I've been like very lucky to meet like some great people and eat, but I'm not like in that scene anymore. You know, it's like if you go to like a bar with Shapes for a Name on Kings and Road at 3 o'clock in the morning, you will see it.
Yeah.
Everybody in there is from the hospitality industry.
Yeah.
And it's a like, you know, it's a, like a battle.
Was it fun when you first moved to London that day?
Yeah, of course.
Like, what was the night out? Like, the best night out you've had?
Well, I don't really remember them.
Yeah, true.
You know, best night in.
Yeah, best night in. Yeah, yeah, but that's what they've all said, haven't they? The chefs we've asked. It sort of ends up back at someone's house.
Yeah. For like 6 o'clock in the morning.
And then straight into Mise en Place?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah,
but that seems like I've been sober for like 2.5 years.
So it's like a different world.
I remember you saying that actually when you're like if you've had no sleep, you're fucked from whatever the night before. Getting into a kitchen, you were talking about it earlier, but you just, you know, when you said about the open kitchen, you just kind of forget everything. You used to say cooking was quite therapeutic in a restaurant.
I found it. Yeah, I liked it. Hungover. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just getting in a prep list and just kind of methodically working through.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's about like you have to hide it.
You have to hide it.
Somebody like catches on that you're suffering. In the slightest,
they'll come for you.
Yeah, they'll make it the worst day of your life.
We're talking about worst days of your life. What has been the worst day of your life?
Professionally,
I said.
Such a dark question. Yeah.
I'd say yesterday was awful.
Yeah.
You know, but in the kitchen, I remember those days at Roots, and this is something you learn as you like get old, like as you go through the industry. It's just like lying is just like, you know, you'll get fucked. It's not worth it.
No.
You know? So there was like one day, and I feel like you explain these stories to people who haven't been in the industry before, and they're like, that sounds so pathetic. And it's like, well, you know, most of the like times you get bollocked are pathetic.
It's pathetic, yeah.
It'll be like over not placing something right. But I remember there was one service where I told, it was at Roots, the chef on the pass, I was like, we've only got this much Solera puree, so just be aware, don't like smash all of it, you know, which is kind of like a risky thing to do when you're like a junior chef anyway, to be like, well, don't use all of it. It's not really my place. And he was like, yeah, okay, fine. He was like, have you checked the freezer? Have you checked everywhere? There's nothing. I was like, yeah, that's it. Like, that's all of it. And then it's like, last check comes on. He's obviously smashed all of it, which is fine. You know, he's allowed. It's not really my job to like tell him how much to use. And he's like, have you got any more? I was like, no, I have. Like, that's all I had. And he was like, is there any in the freezer? I was like, no. He was like, did you check earlier? I was like, yeah, I've checked. I didn't check. And then the next thing I know, it's like this bag of Solera puree just comes like flying across my face.
Oh my God.
And just like drops into like the water bath next to me to like defrost, which is pretty ropey, but you know.
Jesus.
So that was, you know, I apologised to him afterwards. I like went upstairs. I was like, I'm really sorry for lying.
Yeah, don't lie.
It's gonna be back at school. Let's have some food and let's go to your go-to food section. Ben, what have you created for the wonderful Joe Laker?
Just because I saw what you were saying about tater tots. I saw that and I thought, they're silly, aren't they? So I've made some tater tots.
Nice.
And then I made a tarama salata.
Oh, shit.
And then there's this magical thing I got off Delhi, which I was telling you about the other day, called salsa matcha, which is just very tasty.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've done that in tarama with tater tots.
Sounds amazing.
I'm going to get them out in a minute. And then I made sort of like hoisin duck wrap, but with chicken livers.
Wow.
I just thought, and a paratha. I thought it was very tasty.
That's crazy.
You do this for every podcast?
Yeah.
Yes.
You make, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Was that inspired by sort of Doc Kitchen days?
I don't know what that was inspired by. You know, I was in the butcher's and he had chicken livers. They look really nice.
Yeah.
And I really like chicken livers.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh yeah, I'll get
those.
That's
great.
Yeah.
And then I backdated it and worked out what to...
What's your go-to delivery order, Joe?
Detroit pizza.
What's on there?
Exceptional. It's like pepperoni. They do like the really thick...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Proper ones.
Dish you cook the most midweek?
As I said, my fiance, wife, civil partner, whatever she is. She likes eating super healthy. So on like the weekends when we're off together, it's always like tofu rice bowls or like...
Does she work in the industry as well?
No, she works in the charity sector. So she actually has a job that makes...
So you've got to make sort of rice bowls and stuff?
Rice bowls with tofu. I actually don't mind tofu. I used to hate tofu.
Yeah, so do I.
I used to think it was awful.
Yeah, it's got better.
Nice tofu.
So you don't do much cooking outside the restaurant?
On like a Sunday, we'll cook together.
Yeah,
like a Monday night, but
really put that on the table down there.
Here we go. What's your favourite meal deal combination?
I don't know if they still do it. I don't actually get meal deals that much.
No,
Tesco used to do this like chicken and sweet corn, like mayonnaise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking mayonnaise.
And what would you pair that with?
Maybe like a Diet Coke and a cool original Doritos.
Oh yeah, nice. That's a chef.
That's a great order.
What's yours?
Depends what mood I'm in, but I'm actually quite boring. I normally go cheese and ham.
Yeah.
Prawn cocktail, grab bag, smoked ham, and Coke Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite boring, but it's kind of, you know where you're at.
Yeah,
I'm normally on like route to either business meeting or like a show or something when I'm taking him, and I don't want any risky flare-ups.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like ham and cheese, prawn cocktail, Coke Zero, I know where I'm at.
Yeah.
Talking about flare-ups, what's your go-to spice or ingredient?
Smoked paprika. We had this conversation in the restaurant the other day. Like, if you're on a desert island, what would you take? I feel like I put it in everything.
Really?
Even if it doesn't call for it, you know?
Smoked paprika. So it's on a lot of your dishes right now?
It's on no dishes at the restaurant. Oh. I mean, like, at home.
Oh, at home. Okay, yeah. Sorry. You ban yourself from taking it into the restaurant.
It's not British.
Could be, though, couldn't it?
Could be, maybe.
Yeah. Could you not find a... I mean, how do you make paprika? I don't fucking know. Fuck. Oh, those are great. Wow.
Do you make these here?
I made them
on the
home.
Floor.
Yeah.
Special suitcase.
That looks very good.
I thought I just spunk a bit of this on.
That looks
a bit
great.
Of deli.
So you can get all this stuff on deli, essentially.
Yeah, excellent.
And use the code GOTODELI to get 25% off. What about your go-to random fridge snack combination? You open the fridge and put weird things together.
Maybe like sriracha with like potato chips.
Delicious.
That's not super weird, no?
Not weird at all.
Sriracha with potato chips.
These would have gone a bit soggy, just to warn everyone involved.
That's nice, eh?
Time bit soggy, but good.
It's lovely.
And what about your guilty pleasure?
Like food-wise or...
Both.
Or like porn-wise, I know.
food-wise...
Oh, these are delicious. Is there duck in there as well? Or is this the hoisin?
It's just all liver.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Where do you stand on liver?
I fucking hate chicken liver, so...
Do you?
I'm really excited about
it. No, Joe, don't do that. Do you hate liver?
Yeah.
Oh, don't get in there then.
Can I have
it's
a little
not
bite?
Be good for you, is it?
I'll have one bite. Looks delicious.
They are really good.
I can't believe I've done you like that.
Kind of tastes like just Chinese pancakes.
In a good way?
Yeah. Just a bit
more. Quite nice,
I was going to do lamb belly, and I went for liver. I should have done lamb belly, shouldn't I?
It's delicious, though.
That's sweet of you to say.
It's very nice. Guilty pleasure. Yeah. I'll have a Subway. I actually rate Subway very highly.
That's a huge shout. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your order?
Turkey ham, sweet onion, gear, dip, very nice.
On what bread?
The honey oat sensation or whatever it is.
Mm.
When are you getting a Subway? Like what's happening in your life?
When?
Yeah, like
I've had my after service before. He's ordered like delivery to the restaurant. At, like,
really?
Midnight, yeah.
That's so nice.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I love that.
That's actually very nice, the livers.
No, well, you're sweet to say, yeah.
You don't like livers, though?
I hate chicken liver parfait. I think chicken liver parfait is disgusting.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's why I didn't do that. I knew that. I'll tell you what you won't like, the parfait.
Let's go into your go-to locations. What about your go-to weeknight restaurant, if you could ever get out of your own kitchen?
Like casual.
Yeah.
Casual.
Yeah.
Kiln in Soho.
Nice.
Big fan.
Everyone loves it.
Yeah, I've been like 4 or 5 times, I think that's...
It's good for going on your own. I don't know if you're going on your own, but I find it good for going on your own.
I feel like you can go and spend like £50 per person and eat almost the entire menu.
Yeah.
Mm. And the price... I went for the first time, maybe like 5 years ago or something. Prices haven't really changed.
Yeah, how have they done that?
I have no idea.
Everything else has gone
up. Yeah, that's what I mean. So I have no idea how they do it. They've kept it very reasonable.
Clever.
I mean, they turn tables like there's no tomorrow.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, but it's still, you know...
Bang, bang, yeah.
I've never had a bad meal there.
Celebratory supper, like a special night.
I'm going to say Endo at the Rotunda.
Yeah?
Have it, yeah.
That's, I mean,
fair play.
If you can get a reservation.
If you can get a reservation.
Yeah.
You just got to beg him for one.
Yeah.
Your go-to pub?
Prince in Stoke Newington. They do exceptional roasts.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of that. They also have like 3 non-alcoholic beers on draft, which is
yeah, nice. That's a good move.
What's the best one? You were hyping up the Aldi. Was it the Aldi?
At home, I like an Aldi non-alcoholic beer, yeah.
Apparently it's the best one, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I don't know on draft. I mean, you can't obviously...
Yeah, I mean, if you can find Lucky Saint on draft, it's really nice.
Out of a bottle, it's just a bit too thin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like they're
such a technical thing to say.
No, but it is.
You know, really, when you taste
the, yeah, if you drink an unalcoholic beer, that they are a tiny bit thinner.
Is that right?
I feel like that.
I love that.
Well, they take all the.
But on draft, they're actually pretty good. The Lucky Sense.
Have you got a little hidden gem or a secret place that you? Well, it's not going to be secret if you say it now, but hidden gem.
There's a Japanese cafe on Kingsland Road called Moko Maid or Moko Made. I don't know how to pronounce it. Their coffee's exceptional. They do like loads of baked goods, and they have onigiri, like rice balls, and it's like truly exceptional.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, it's very, very nice.
Yeah.
And what about your dream long weekend getaway? I mean, you haven't had a chance to go for your honeymoon yet.
Yeah, I mean, but I had a very nice midweek getaway on my own a few weeks ago. I went to Stockholm, went to Frampton and Adam and Albin.
Nice.
I was in Stockholm for like 48 hours and I did nothing apart from sleep and go and eat at two really nice restaurants.
What was the best dish ever?
The thing is with France, it was obviously exceptional, You know, but this is like everything. Anyone that I speak to about it, it's the food can only be so good.
Yeah.
And they've like created this experience around the food that's just like mind blowing. Like every detail is being considered. So the food is obviously really, really good. But I feel like you go for the experience.
Mm.
You know, you go for like the whole package. And also their food's a bit all over the place.
Mm.
As in inconsistent or?
As in like.
A bit mad, like what?
Kind of what I was saying about there's like no boundaries. So it's like some dish will be like a Japanese inspired sauce and the next you'll have like a sauce inspired by like a laksa.
Yeah.
And like, so it doesn't really make sense, but there was this like kinmadai, like steamed kinmadai dish with like a Sri Lankan curry sauce thing that was very good.
Kind of sounds like the Dot Kitchen.
Yeah, fast and loose.
Yeah. But I remember Alex Jackson saying you could never get away with that kind of restaurant now.
So the place I worked for a long time is called the Dot Kitchen, which is in Labrador Grove. It's closed now. But we cooked like grandmother's food or like poor people's food from around the world.
Right.
I mean, we were like 8 white people.
You'd get cancelled for that.
Yeah. And we were just doing Sri Lankan menus sort of going deep, like grinding all our own coconuts, buying in the machinery and the spice grinders.
Yeah.
It was cool. Amazing place to work.
Yeah.
But I just don't think we could do that now.
No.
No.
And I understand why, you know. So I'm
not saying not our place to be doing that. Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to like limit yourself to,
like,
you know, you can be inspired by things.
For
but
sure.
I feel like when you see these, like at France, and they were like, there was like, oh, Japanese is in our DNA. And then you like look around, it's a bunch of
like, where?
People.
Yeah.
It's like, where? Yeah. You know? And it's like, you. Like, you didn't go through the struggles that, like, Japanese children did at, like, school when they were, like, taking Japanese food to, like, a Western school, like, lunch, and they got, like, ridiculed
for
it.
Celebrated. Or, like, cheese strings out. And
Yeah. But it's now, like, celebrated, like, Japanese cuisine.
Yeah.
It's celebrated here because, like, now the white people have said it's like...
We said it's all right,
something. You know, it's crazy. Yeah.
No, 100%.
So I understand.
Well, talking about that, I mean, it's probably a good time for Deli Steady Cook because we're going to ask a young, good-looking white man to make some Asian food for us, I think, from what's in your deli bag. What would you make from that bag?
I'd just make a bimbi with everything in it.
Yeah, I sort of made it easy for you.
Yeah, you made it very easy.
But if you just read it out.
So what's in this?
I actually didn't have a proper look at that. I don't think there's any rice in there.
Oh, so you need to add beef, chicken, pork, or tofu.
Nice. Yeah. Well, that's a good start.
Thank God I sorted you out with the sausage.
Yeah. Thank God.
You're going to make a
bimbap
with
some...
It's got bloody duck liver in it. You hate liver.
Do you hate all types of liver?
I'm just not a fan. I feel like chicken liver parfait is the most disgusting thing that anybody's ever decided to create.
Right.
I think it tastes like iron and
very
like
iron,
ass.
Yeah.
You know, I don't... I just don't.
Like, I don't
maybe I'll rewind and say that's the worst fad.
Yeah.
That's possible. Maybe I'd make like a little rice salad to make that turn that vinegar into a nice like vinaigrette.
It's double delicious though.
With some like fried crispy sausage on top and some kimchi on the side.
Sounds amazing.
Unbelievable.
That's your Deli Steady Cook, and you guys can get involved in Deli. Just use the code GOTODELI, get 25% off all their incredible food and drink, which we've been enjoying all day and all series so far. Joe, you've been absolutely wonderful. We're going to come check you out at Counter 71. Hopefully we can get a reservation and we may have to slide into your DMs to some of our slippers on there. We're going to finish off by asking you, what is your go-to three-course meal? If you could eat any three courses for one last time.
So I'm going to start with dessert because I feel like it's the easiest. Sticky toffee pudding.
Oh, yeah.
It's a classic.
Sticky toffee pudding, yeah.
Yeah. Main course.
Just quickly with ice cream, custard.
What custard.
Yeah, right.
With warm custard.
Yeah, nice.
Not a heat.
You're not a savage.
Yeah. Kind of gross.
it's my bad.
I would say sausage and mash for a start. Nice. I feel like mashed potatoes are a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I feel like I have to say that. And starter.
No onions?
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. Well, you didn't say it.
Sort of show you around.
I know. We're really showing ourselves up at the end.
Well, I just thought, you'd say, you know, maybe you don't like onions like you don't like liver. So I mean,
yeah. I love onions.
Yeah. Okay, so sausage mash onions to start.
Sausage mash onions to start.
Sticky toffee for pudding with custard.
Yeah. Starter. It's difficult.
Oh, that was your main. So I thought you said to start the sausage.
No.
No one has sausage and mash.
I thought he might be doing two mains. I don't know. He's freaking himself. He's about to die.
Yeah.
Maybe.
True.
Yeah.
Jesus. I would say... You know, this might be controversial, but you know when you go to a pub and they have just like horrible chicken wings and stuff?
Yeah.
I actually quite enjoy them.
Yeah.
You know, they're like kind of soggy, but also really dry.
You know, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I don't, you know, and it's tossed in a sauce.
Yeah. It tastes nondescript.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind that.
Yeah, they're really good. I agree with you.
Okay.
So I feel like we didn't grow up eating starters, my family.
No.
So we'd go like straight to main course. And now looking back on it, I'm like, they're just cheap.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So if you're going to have some dry and soggy chicken wings to start off, why not?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Well, Joe, you've been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in. Everyone get down to County 71 if you can get a booking. And you'll be in for a real treat. Just don't complain about the scallops.
Yeah.
please leave us a comment, a rating. It helps a lot of people find us. Thank you to Deli for sponsoring the podcast. And those of your go-tos, Joe, we'll see you all next week. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
And congratulations on being married.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was great.
That was unbelievable. Cheers.